we go back to 2023, the United States determined that mass atrocities were happening in Sudan and being committed by the RSF, but no action was taken that is similar to what was taken yesterday. And so this is long overdue. It is welcome, but a lot of work needs to be put into ensuring that the culprits that are committing the mass atrocities are held accountable.
And what is the significance of these sanctions imposed on RSF and its allied companies? How would that change the calculus in the field?
One of the weaknesses of sanctions designations has been that they target mid-level officers with minimal or non-existent command and control responsibilities. And for a long time, some of us in the policy community and activist community have been arguing that for sanctions to realize their full potential, they really have to go up the ladder and target those with command and control responsibilities, those at the top of the political and military structure. And this one is therefore significant. It puts a lot of pressure on the enablers in the Sudanese conflict, the supporters of the RSF, particularly abroad and in the region. As you have seen, the designation also lists seven companies that are affiliated with the RSF, and that is significant. We've always argued that sanctions designations must not only target the perpetrators of violence, but must also target the enablers. And these enablers can be the banking system, businesses that are affiliated with the perpetrators, or neighboring countries. And so this one closes the loop. Not only does it target the perpetrator, but also the enabler. And therefore, it puts a lot of pressure on also the international community to take action against the RSF.
Brian, when you talk about sanctions, to my understanding, it's an instrument of diplomacy. And to me, it's just the implementations of carrots and sticks. Now, if you are dealing with a non-state actor and you decide to use sticks, these people don't have bank accounts. They don't have anything. They have nothing to lose, so to speak. And an example is South Sudan's top leaders have been sanctioned and they are still surviving today. They do business as usual. What is different this time with the RSF sanctions?
Sanctions in and of themselves will not realize the impact desired. Sanctions have to be accompanied by a robust diplomatic channel to engage the actors who are being sanctioned. Sanctions have to list, all of the people and entities in the value chain. Here we're saying, there's the perpetrator, there's the middleman or enabler, and the enabler here is the bank. It can be the bank, the businessmen in the region who allow these people to travel, facilitate access to resources, buying property, and all of that. And then there are, states also that are complicit in enabling, supporting the sites. So sanctions must cover all of that. So what you see right now is really a welcome move in the sense that it targets the perpetrator and seven companies in the UAE. In other words, it's also sending a signal to the United Arab Emirates that, you are kind of complicit in these atrocities that are happening in Darfur, in Sudan, in other parts of Sudan. That is not enough. The sanctions and all of these have to be tied to a coherent political strategy that says that here is this objective that we want to reach politically, and in Sudan that should be peace. And here's what you need to do in order to get off the sanctions designations and in order for us to arrive at peace. That has to be in place.